Good morning, Good Shepherd. Please remain standing for our scripture reading this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in gratitude and in thankfulness. We're thankful, first and foremost, for another beautiful day which you have given us. And we thank you also for the armor of God in which we have just read about, Lord. We pray for open hearts this morning, open ears, Lord, and that you would be welcomed into this space, Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here. Welcome to those of you who are new here, to those who come weekly. Always good to see your faces. If anyone noticed, there's something a little different this week. No Scott, right? Scott is out of town with family right now, and so please be praying for a restful time for him and his folks, as well as safe travel on their return. But this weekend, actually a lot of people are out of town because this is what? It's Memorial Day, right? Memorial Day is a time for us to pause and reflect, think about the lives that were lost for our freedom. And so this morning, as we're talking about Memorial Day weekend, right, and as we're thinking and reflecting a little bit about those who fought so that we could be sitting here today in our freedoms, I want to take a moment to share a story with you guys. So June 5th, 1944, D-Day, right? U.S. troops board C-47 aircraft, the intention to carry out one of the largest airborne operations in history. Their goal was to land on five beaches of Normandy and to execute the mission of securing four causeways and a few key towns. Well, if you know how the story goes, right off rip, things don't go as intended or planned. Enemy aircraft fire causes U.S. troops, planes, and allies to split. The fleet is dispersed. And before long, troops are no longer being dropped in their drop zone, but they're forced to land on beaches that they weren't prepared for. Through the night, troops were forced to navigate the beaches, even in the chaos. The unplanned and not very forgiving drop proved to be difficult, to say in the least. Fortunately, the troops successfully advanced and seized each of the four causeways, thus putting the troops into position to eventually seize the needed key towns as well. I think in many cases, this is not too different than what we face, the battles in our lives. I think oftentimes we get dropped in places that we weren't intending to be dropped into, right? You can be prepared, but not often are we prepared for the places that life ends up taking us when it turns out to be a battle. The thing that made D-Day successful wasn't the fact that it was an overnight supposed to be a surprise attack, right? Because after all, that didn't seem to be such a surprise. But it was because they were equipped and trained and had the tools they needed to successfully move forward even in the chaos and trust one another. This reminds us that we need to be equipped in our spiritual battles so we are not rattled or shaken. You see, the armor of God doesn't actually prevent the battle, but it does equip you for it. We're in a series this morning called Stand, for those who have not been with us. This is week 4 or 5, I believe. Scott's been walking us through chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. This morning, we're going to be focusing in specifically on verses 14 through 17. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and read that again for us so that we kind of know where we're headed this morning. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So for my note takers in the room, here's our first point this morning. The divine armor of God cannot be put on by the human nature of man. The divine armor of God cannot be put on by the human nature of man. So when you were growing up in church, for those of us who did, you've heard about the armor of God. You probably saw it illustrated in a book somewhere at some point. I remember growing up, we used to go to something called the Christian bookstore. How many of you are familiar with that? Yeah, quite a few of you. The Christian bookstore, I remember walking in, and as a kid, you could see little kits of the armor of God, right? So a little plastic shield, maybe plastic boots, whatever it was, a little plastic sword. And that was what was conveyed to most kids to be like, hey, this is the armor of God. And I love a good illustration. I love a good physical, tangible, like, hey, this is what this is. But I think what happens somewhere along the way is we're so focused on looking at, hey, this is what it physically looks like, that we're not taught why we need it or how we can actually acquire it and what it actually looks like when it's equipped. So the question this morning is what good is an armor that you don't understand a great need for, and what good is an armor if you are unable to be dressed in it? The only way we can equip this armor is through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit. It is not something that we can solely acquire or work hard enough for. It is something that the Holy Spirit does in and through us. And if this is true, in which it is, how many of us have actually acquired the armor of God? How many of us sitting in this room today are actively living dressed in the armor of God, and how many of us are still holding a foam sword and playing dress up? Now, I want to be careful here, but do you think it's possible that some of your battles are so difficult because the armor you are wearing isn't something that you fully know how to operate in? Or maybe the armor you're wearing is similar to the armor that King Saul gave David when facing Goliath. Check this out, 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 through 39. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. I think in many cases, this is what it looks like for us when we're trying to dress ourselves in the armor of God solely by ourselves, right? It's the same concept. Sometimes I think people think they can be dressed in their parents' faith because their parents went to church. It's a similar concept here. You cannot be dressed in a mentor's armor. You cannot be dressed in a parent's armor. The armor of God can only come from being dressed by the Lord. In this specific story, the only armor that David needed to win this battle against Goliath was the armor that the Lord would dress him in. And that was not a physical armor, right? So it's no different than this foam sword right here, right? I had a lot of fun picking this out. Went into DG, Dollar General, and found this thing. And I'm lucky. We're not gonna try this morning, but I'm lucky if I could leave a welt with this thing. Like, that's the best you could do with this foam sword. But in no way is this ready for battle, right? Now let's say for D-Day we had equipped all of our troops with this foam sword. We're probably looking at a different story. And so this morning, as we're talking about being dressed in the true, real armor of God through the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, in comparison to a fake armor that's not ours to begin with, It's important that we have, that we are equipped with something that's genuine and authentic, something that's divine from the Lord, right? So we're not fighting our battles with a foam sword. I think this is something that's very personal for most of us. We have battles in our lives that we cannot fight in the manner that we've been trying to. About a year ago now, my mom received a phone call saying her mother had had a fall and had been taken to the ER. X-ray results showed that in her fall, she had broken both of her femurs, both broken clean in half. We were told that she was going to need surgery in an attempt to fix this, and so we began to pray. We started praying first and foremost that she would make it through the surgery, and secondly, that it would be so successfully. I think most of us assumed and knew that there was a very real possibility that this was going to result in a nursing home, right? Now, she made it through the surgery successfully. She made it into rehab. You know, they're doing all the fun hard work. And this is where she had to make a choice for herself. She had to choose between this stinks and I'm going to put my trust in the Lord and rely on Him daily to get through this struggle. And on the flip side, my mother had to do the same thing. In a world where financial aid, they only wanted to give so much. Time was running out, and yet at the same time after time, my mother called and fought for more financial aid, and the Lord continued to provide, also bringing her to a place of trusting in the Lord. So as an 83-year-old woman working to restore her legs, I also believe that the Lord was looking to restore her heart in this, right? I'm happy to say that today my grandmother is back to the place where she was living with limited assistance needed, and she is certainly not in a nursing home. Now, if you were to sit down with my mom or my grandmother and ask, hey, you know, what happened? You know, there may be some credit given to the doctors or the nurses or those working in rehab, but ultimately I think everyone can stand and say the reason this happened was because of the Lord, because prayers were heard and prayers were answered and trust was placed in Him, and we were clothed in this battle so that we could withstand. You see, the armor of God does not prevent us from attacks. It doesn't even promise us the results we want, but it does equip you. So that leads us to our second point. The armor of God does not prevent spiritual attacks. It equips you for them. The armor of God is not an antidote to spiritual attacks, as much as we wish it was. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 14 says this, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Stand, therefore. We're talking about a battle here. And the armor, the whole armor is available so that we are able to withstand in the evil day, able to stand firm. I think there's a common misconception here when we look at the armor of God. I think, or even just Christianity as a whole, I think sometimes people believe once they've come to faith that things get easier. The battles disappear, and that's just not true. I remember my sister, one of my older sisters, used to try to have faith-based conversations with one of our teachers, Mr. Wilson, in high school, social studies teacher. Mr. Wilson claimed Christianity, but I don't know that he ever really went to church. I don't know that he ever had a real personal relationship with the Lord. At one point, I remember my sister Adeline telling me that he had said, once you become a Christian, everything gets easy. That's why we become believers, because everything just gets easy, and it's a breeze from there. I think everyone in this room today can probably agree that that's just not the case. You see, some of you in this room have moments in your life where not only was it difficult, but maybe you still wonder where God was in it all. Maybe you're in that season right now. Regardless, the armor of God isn't here to prevent attacks or difficult moments, days or years. But the armor of God is a loving gift that helps you get through it standing firm. God in His goodness wants to help you stand firm to guard your heart and your relationship with Him, like a parent seeks to protect a child and give understanding, as does God with us. You see, for starters, the armor of God is not something we just put on once. It's in many ways a lifestyle that begins on our knees. If you want to stand in the heat of battle, you must learn to kneel before God with the darkest depths of your heart. I'm going to say that again. If you want to stand in the heat of battle, you must learn to kneel before God with the darkest depths of your heart. That is where the Holy Spirit can dress you in the armor of God. What this looks like practically is standing by kneeling when you got that diagnosis that was unexpected. Some of you are facing that this morning, or a loved one is. It's standing by kneeling when your grandchild is straying from the faith. Some of you have been praying for years that your grandchild would come back to the faith, and you still haven't seen any progress. It's standing by kneeling when your parents have health issues. Some of you are trying to navigate that right now, and you're praying for a miracle, and you're wondering what's next. It's standing by kneeling when you don't know what or where the Lord is calling you to in life. Some of you are also experiencing that this morning, praying for purpose, praying for hope. And yet somehow standing looks like tears running down your face. It looks like your hands open and your knees sore. It looks like your weaknesses revealing themselves and your strengths feeling exhausted. See, maybe standing in the armor of God was never really about how confident you appear. Maybe it was always about what it looked like when your knees hit the floor. And both your strengths and your weaknesses. Moving on to our third point, the full armor is available to you, not just in the ways that you think you're good at something. It's there for your strong points and your weak points. We can be equipped in all pieces of the armor. We can be equipped in all pieces of the armor. We don't pick and choose what parts we think we want to live in and what parts we just glaze over. This is a battle and an unseen battle, and God wants to prepare you for it to the fullest. I think sometimes it can be easy for us to be like, all right, let's see, gospel, feet of peace. Okay, yeah, peace. I'm good at making peace. I'm a peacemaker. Yeah, you know what? Instead of fighting my battles, I'm going to be the person that makes peace in my battles. That's not always an option. Sometimes making peace looks like picking up the sword of truth and being guarded by the shield of faith, right? You see, in our weak moments, God is strong. These are the places we need the armor the most. But on the flip side, in our strong moments, we still need the armor of God because humility is necessary in this battle around us that we are not seeing. Humility is a place where the armor can be put on. When we are surrendered to God and allow Him to dress us like we talked about in point two, we need the armor of God in all things. The very things that the armor stands for are the things that the devil wants to attack in our lives, right? I mean, let's just read this again, verses 14 through 18, Ephesians chapter 6. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and shoes fit for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So this is what God is offering here, okay? Peace, faith, salvation, righteousness, truth, the Word, the Holy Spirit. And on the flip side, listen to what Jesus says about the devil in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. So if the devil, if the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, then we must believe that the devil wants to attack your peace. He wants to attack your faith. He doesn't want you to have the sword of the Spirit. He doesn't want you to be in the Word of God. He doesn't want you to be praying at all times in the Spirit. He doesn't want you to have the gospel of peace. And he definitely doesn't want you to have the helmet of salvation. So the question is this morning is, if we're not dressed in the armor of God that offers these things and protects us, then not only are we facing an adversary, but we're facing someone who wants the exact opposite for our lives. That's intense. But it is by the authority of God alone that you can have this armor and you can be equipped for flaming darts. And so my question for all of you this morning, my question for each of you throughout this series is this, is will you stand? Will you choose to stand? I don't mean standing to walk out of this church building this morning. I mean, are you going to choose to stand, and are you going to continue to stand once you get home? Or will we be caught in our own world, limiting what God can do in our lives? The places right now in your life where you are struggling the most, the hardest battles you are facing, there is a way to fight. So are you using your strengths well and effectively at that, while also rooting your strengths in God's strength and rooting your weaknesses in His strength as well? We're going to move on to our fourth and final point this morning. God's power can work in and through us in ways unseen. God's power can work in and through us in ways unseen. Ephesians 3:20-21 says this, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Here's a power that can do immeasurably more than we can ask for or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. This is the same power that clothes us in the armor of God, a power that can do immeasurably more than what we can ask for or imagine. And so you have a choice. You can lean into the Holy Spirit and allow Him to equip the armor of God, or you can lean into your own strength and try to put it on by yourself. You see, this is a divine battle, and so we must have divine intervention, divine protection, and a divine battle strategy. You and I are unable to fight this battle without the divine armor of God that is accessible to us. Just a few verses earlier, chapter 6, verse 12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." You see, this battle is not against flesh and blood, but against cosmic powers over this present darkness. We need the armor of God. We need to be able to stand firm in a battle that we often only feel the effects of rather than physically seeing. So as I invite Gary and the worship team up this morning, I want to ask you guys a few more questions before we wrap things up here. What battles are you fighting right now? What battles are you winning? What battles are you losing? Are you standing firm, or are you still operating in an armor that doesn't fit you to begin with? In your personal battles, are you standing? When you look around and see a world that is continuing to stray further and further away from God, by the way, that's not flesh and blood. Behind it is rulers of darkness, right? When you look around and see a world straying, are you standing? 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." We often refer to this passage in regard to sharing the gospel theology, right? Be prepared to give an answer. But I challenge you this morning to take this passage and ask yourself, am I prepared also for battle? "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared." So as we get ready to worship here in just a moment, I want you to stand with me. Open your hands. I'm just going to read this over you, and I want you to receive this morning. Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So as we walk out this morning, I challenge you to walk out standing, not leaving physically standing, but leaving standing by kneeling, surrendering, being on your knees and asking the Lord for the armor of God, that you may be strong, be able to withstand, and be able to extinguish flaming darts of the evil one. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once more for this morning. Thank you for every heart in this room, Lord, every person that came out, Lord. I do just ask for strength in their battles, personal battles, battles for loved ones. I ask that you will equip them in the armor of God, that they may be able to withstand and extinguish flaming darts of the evil one. They may be protected and safe. Lord, we love you. We're grateful for you. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.